Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Phipps. We start, as always, with the headlines you need to know. Tag, you're it! Top headline, the Jaguars going to use their franchise tag on defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. League sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter today the tag will allow them to trade him if that's what they decide they're forced to do. Ngakoue, of course, went to Twitter to respond. In his tweet, the Jaguars are aware I no longer have interest in signing a long-term contract in Jacksonville. Duvall, I love you and gave you guys everything I got. I'm thankful for the journey and look forward to continuing my career elsewhere. Sounds like he wants nothing to do with it. The franchise tag carries a value of about $19.3 million in 2020 at his position. But remember, a man's almost 25 years old. He turned down that amount last year, $19 million a year last year from the Jags. The next headline you need to know, Steve Ballmer, L.A. Clippers owner, looks like he's in advanced negotiations to buy the Forum in Inglewood, California. He'd be buying it from the Madison Square Garden Company, an acquisition that would clear a huge hurdle in the Clippers' effort to get their own arena in that vicinity. Clippers would neither confirm nor deny the report, but they did say, quote, the Clippers continue to pursue plans to build a state-of-the-art 18,000-seat basketball arena and entertainment complex in Inglewood and are currently working with the city to successfully complete the comprehensive environmental impact report. We'll see where that goes. And lastly, speaking of the NBA, Madison Square Garden, the Knicks fix. The New York Knicks have officially named former player agent Leon Rose as their new president. Terms of the deal not disclosed. The Knicks announced that Rose, formerly the co-head of CAA's basketball division, will, quote, oversee all basketball operations and personnel for the team. Rose put out a letter to fans. They supported interim coach Mike Miller. He said, quote, I want to thank Miller for his continued leadership and professionalism during this period. But he also said, quote, nothing about this is easy or quick, so I ask for your continued patience. Knicks fans, you've waited this long. What's a little longer? Those are the headlines you need to know. And that's some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plans with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month, saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and, of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Phipps. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you get to hang out with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're going to talk a lot about LeBron today. So the question we're asking you guys, where's LeBron James stand in the MVP race? Where is he right now for you? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Remember, anytime you call or tweet me at Jason Phipps. I want to know why. You also got to tell me why. Who's ahead of him? Who's behind him? Why do you have him where he is? And the best caller or tweeter every week gets a prize pack. So we did that for the first time last week. We will continue letting it go this week. Now, a lot of people last night had a Vivid Seat to LeBron or Zion, taking on Zion. You can download the Vivid Seats app and a promo code ESPN25 at checkout. Get you 10% off your next order. Don't buy just any seat. Get a Vivid Seat. So you had a Vivid Seat last night to LeBron taking on Zion. All eyes anytime the Lakers play. The Pelicans are there. Lakers win 122-114. Maybe the most impressive part of this was the showdown between the King and Zion, though. Zion, 35 points, 7 boards. Feels good. But LeBron turned around and said, how about 34, 12, and 13? Yet another triple-double. Yet another epic night. So get up, host Mike Greenberg. Join Max and Stephen A. to talk about who last night was more about, LeBron or Zion.
let's understand something here. There was an individual that came into the league and took it by storm in 1984 by the name of Charles Barkley. Why was that relevant? He wasn't Michael Jordan, whatever, but he was the round amount of rebound. Guess what? When he came down the lane, people moved out of the way because he's a big boy. That's why. We saw a very, very powerful Dwight Howard get moved by Zion, okay? Because you can't teach 280. At the end of the day, even though LeBron is passing the torch, let's understand why. He's passing the torch because this kid is box office. You know he's box office. And so it's not just about your skill set, but it's how you carry yourself and how you represent the game of basketball. And everything about this kid's demeanor points to that. I understand it, but in the end, you can't teach 280. And anybody that has a skill set that's 280, you're going to give them props. Last night, that's where the question is. Last night is about a 35-year-old in his 17th season that went into his bag, his ball handling skills, his three-point shooting, because he's shooting 35% from three-point range this year, his passing ability, his ability to finish at the basket, to elevate, to show the athleticism with all of that mileage on his body, all of that stuff. Just a couple of games ago, he actually sat out the game because of the groin injury, and he sat out from Golden State. They won by 30. LeBron James comes back on the court, looks suspect against Memphis. Ja Morant puts on a show Saturday night with 27 and 14. Then the very next night, a back-to-back, you still show up without Anthony Davis in New Orleans. And what do? You put up a triple-double, your 12th or 13th triple-double of the season, which leads the league, by the way. This is what you're doing.
Tied with Luka,
right. And so you've got against Luka, against Zion, and against Trae Young, LeBron James is averaging the triple-double. That's not the big deal to me. The big deal to me is that in his 17th year at age 35, you're supposed to be fading. Mm-hmm. And what you did last night was say to the young fella, you're a special dude. The future's yours, but now it's still mine.
The present is mine, right. But Zion at 19 made LeBron go into his full arsenal, his full bag of tricks. So,
Do you think Zion's exceeding expectations?
Yes, no doubt. Because the whole thing, LeBron was built for
exactly
the NBA. LeBron was Magic and Michael had a baby. It's LeBron James. He's built to dominate. Zion, we were wondering, does he have enough wiggle in his game to get in, through traffic in the NBA? Can he shoot it well enough? Is he a willing enough passer, et cetera? He's all those things. And by the way, he doesn't even really shoot it yet. And he made LeBron James, in a year where people are saying he should be in the MVP conversation, play one of his best games of the year. And yes, you're right, Greeny. Afterward, LeBron, even the message he sends to the media about, hey, I'm going to talk. It's really what he's saying. And I hate to bring it up, but it's been on my mind. What Jordan's speech at the service for Kobe was about, the tears that were coming down his face, it said, everything about it said, Jordan saying, yes, this was the guy. And LeBron, right from the outset, is saying about Zion, yeah, this is the guy.
So, I'm just curious. You're not surprised by how
he's doing exactly what I expected him to do.
You expected him to be this good.
Because he's 280. I know he can play. And I know he plays with veracity, though, so that at the end of the day, particularly during a regular season, if I saw Zion handling the ball and shooting threes, okay, that would be a different ball game. What he's doing in terms of finishing at the basket, his game with his back to the basket in the post area, how he's overpowering people, I absolutely agree.
But 6 weeks ago, they were trying to reteach him how to walk, and now all of a sudden, he's one of the three or four most dominant players in the NBA.
That's not where I'm going in terms of
fly,
the expectations. I don't mean the expectations coming off the injury.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm saying when he came into the league, I expect if he's on the court healthy, he has done nothing
out
there has surprised
me. As a rookie, he's averaging over 25 points and 7 boards as a 19-year-old rookie. That's beyond where LeBron was
on here. Our first take when he first got drafted, and we both prognosticated what he was going to do this season. I had him averaging 23 and 10. It's not far off. It was what I said.
You were right then, and I was dead wrong. I will admit it completely. We had Mike Schmitz, the draft expert, on our show on Get Up leading into the draft last year, and he said to me, Greeny, ultimately, Zion is a 5 in the NBA. And I remember thinking to myself, this guy is no way. What is he talking about? That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. But as you watch it now, it isn't so insane. In a league where the Houston Rockets are playing this small ball,
where Westbrook
and he's
is the 5.
Dominating Dwight Howard, he is. He's the future of the 5 position in the NBA.
And it wasn't just Dwight Howard. There was a couple of times LeBron was on him in the post and others as well.
Unlike the first game, he makes
you feel his presence physically, and then he elevates. That's 280.
Unlike the first game, they guarded each other sometimes. They actually went at each other sometimes.
First Take, Your Take, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. A lot being made about the fact that LeBron built up Ja Morant and hasn't necessarily done it the same way with Zion. But let's also remember, Ja needs that buildup. I mean, there's some level of national attention that still isn't getting to Ja the way it deserves to, and Zion doesn't need that help. So last night, the question is it more about LeBron or Zion? But all of that leads us to, where is LeBron in this MVP conversation? That's what we're asking you to chime in with. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As always, when you call or tweet, you got to tell us why. So we'll go to Tyler in Philly. Where's LeBron in your MVP race and why?
He's at the top, man. 15th year, 17th year, 35 years old, and look what he's doing. I mean, no questions asked.
So for me, this is not as easy as no questions asked, because Giannis is also playing incredibly well. Giannis was the MVP last year, and he's even better this year. You take Giannis off the Bucks, woo, not good at all. So I'm not sure that I'm as convinced it's clear cut. Andre in Massachusetts. Andre, where do you have LeBron and why?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. LeBron is solidly second in the MVP race right now, and that's no disrespect to LeBron, but what Giannis is doing, A, and what the Bucks are doing, B, on pace for 70 wins, it's just, it's his to win, and it's out of the question. But the point about LeBron and why this speaks so much to his greatness is LeBron is obviously in year 17, and Giannis is very early in his journey. And so the point of fact is this: LeBron has his eyes set on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record and on being dominant over the course. He has this guy set in the longevity argument. He wants to be dominant over such a scope of years that puts him past Michael Jordan. He's not going to surpass Michael Jordan in championships, but him being consistent, being relevant, and being at the top of his game for longer is what I think LeBron is eyeing. So this year, in terms of the MVP, it's clearly Giannis. I don't think that's debatable. But LeBron being as high up on Mount Olympus as he is in year 17 speaks volumes to his career. Great.
Love that. Love that. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Don't forget, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance, drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today. Find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. We'll keep taking your thoughts where LeBron stands in the MVP race. You can tweet me at Jason Fitch. You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the meantime, that wasn't the only NBA conversation on First Take this morning. KD is rehabbing an Achilles tear. It's keeping the door open on playing in the Summer Olympics at this point, though. KD's agent, Rich Kleiman, told the Washington Post, this is a quote, "Tokyo is definitely a possibility. He allowed his name to be in the group of finalists, but there are other benchmarks in front of him that are more important before he makes those decisions." This is always difficult when you're trying to figure out the Olympics, which means so much to players, but also their NBA careers. So ESPN basketball analyst Jay Williams joined Max and Stephen A. to break down what it means keeping the door open on playing in the Olympics and what it says about KD.
I ain't happy about it. Let me be very clear, and I'm going to look right into the camera and say this to Rich Kleiman and KD. I know that KD don't give a damn what anybody thinks. He's his own man. He's going to do what he's going to do. Rich Kleiman, I don't want to hear that. The Nets are paying him. This is a superstar, a two-time champion, a league MVP. Damn it, that this game misses, okay? All of this talk about Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis, and all this. Oh, I wish KD was healthy. Oh, damn it. Because let me tell you something, he'd be putting on a show. I guarantee you he'd be averaging a 27-7 that he's averaging right now. I guarantee you that Brooklyn would be one of the top two teams we're talking about in the Eastern Conference if that brother was healthy. You are out for the year. Totally understand. You understand? Because I was a...
Are you sure Brooklyn would be top two in the East?
I believe that. I believe that. I personally believe with KD, they would be top two. I personally believe that.
Okay. I'm just asking.
All I'm saying is this. I'm getting sick and tired of these guys in this respect. You can do what you want to do. You know why you can do what you want to do? Because you're getting so much money. That's why. Well, who's paying you? Who's cutting those checks? It ain't the Olympics. It ain't USA Basketball. No. I need you on the court playing for the people that's paying you, because this, look across that river, Max. Look, Max, turn around, look across that river, Max.
See, Dumbo.
What is that, Max? What's outside you? What's across that water?
That's
Brooklyn.
That's Barclays.
That's Brooklyn. Yes. You understand?
Yes.
That's Brooklyn.
Yes.
All right?
Down under Manhattan.
There's no KD. There's no KD there. Where's KD? We got to wait. So guess what? Oh, now you come back and the first time folks see you is for Olympic basketball. How many damn gold medals do y'all need? Hey, I want to hear that. Listen, Rich Kleiman, stop it. Stop it. I want KD on the NBA court first. Period. I don't want to hear nothing about no USA basketball. No disrespect, Jerry Colangelo. No disrespect. Wow. But I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
USA I'm going to have to basketball. Take it down a notch.
Yeah.
Because
I'm taking it up.
Very animated.
I feel kind of similar, but let me start by saying KD marches to the beat of his own drummer.
Yes.
That's what this says more than anything. But sometimes that beat, it could be a better one for him, I think. Like, everyone has to make their own decisions about what makes them happy. But when I look at KD and his goals, my goals for him are not important to him. His own happiness is, so that's fine. But if we send our best guys to the Olympics, we always win. If we send our best guys, the only question with the Olympics is and always has been, are we going to send our best team or not? When the United States sends their best team, when we send our best team, we win, and we don't, we have a chance to lose. So, okay, what does that really prove if he plays in the Olympics? Second thing. He has a chance, KD, to enter the GOAT conversation. There's Jordan, but like, to enter the conversation with everybody else. Really, truly. Not just, hey, does KD belong there? But like, when you talk LeBron or anyone, you must talk KD. And the way that he does that is if he returns as, let's say, 80% of himself, right? And leads the Brooklyn Nets to a championship, then even though his goodest days may be over, his greatest ones can lie ahead. That's real great. That when he's not as good as he once was, he can prove he's greater than he's ever been, because this is not riding a 73-win team in Golden State to a championship.
USA basketball is going to do that for him?
No. He's risking that. That's what
That's
I'm saying.
My point.
He's risking it.
Or he's getting back in shape.
And to the point about playing, when other people say, maybe you shouldn't do that, I was on this show before the finals saying KD is risking catastrophic injury that will compromise the rest of his prime and career. He should not play. He played, and precisely what I said would happen, unfortunately.
I would have played because I'm trying to win a championship.
What happened? He already got two championships too, KD. What happened?
So you comparing championships to gold medals now?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Of course not, but he has two.
That's worth the risk.
Jay, where are you on this?
The Olympics are in July.
Mm-hmm.
5 months from now. Mm-hmm. Have you seen him work out? I've seen video of him work out. It's pretty damn impressive with where he's at. So I look at it like this. I think you guys are doing a huge disservice to representing our country.
Oh, Lord.
I think you've taken it for granted, Stephen A.
Oh, Lord.
I don't think you understand what happened last time we were in the Olympics. And I'm sorry that Kevin Durant, the guy who in the lockout season decided to play pickup basketball at Dykeman or Rucker Park, his love for the game, that you guys can't look at that and say, but you have a problem with this?
Because he wasn't coming off of an ACL or Achilles, rather.
But isn't this the best way to ramp up for this season? He doesn't need to play 40 minutes a night. He can play limited minutes. And why wouldn't that be bad for Kevin Durant to lead the charge or other good players to say, yes, come play USA basketball. Come represent our country. And then he can come into the season with a good lather because he understands where his body is. Why can't you guys look at it like that?
Why can't you look at this? Are you a proponent of you putting your salary up for risk in any event you get hurt in USA basketball? I don't have to pay you?
But if Josiah...
Answer the question, Jay!
Wait, am I the owner? If I'm the owner, I'm talking to my player and saying, let's think through this, but if I give my player the blessing, then he's allowed to do it. So isn't that something that's on Josiah and Clarissa?
Let's look at the Nets for a second.
I think that's just a weak excuse.
The Nets were trying to bring a championship to New York City for the first time in the NBA.
So when did he come?
Since 1973. Kyrie is with the injuries, is a mess. The locker room stuff holding. And now KD is going to risk. Look, when you say work himself into a lather, it doesn't work like you get the surgery on this injury and then you come back the first year you're yourself. At best, it's that first year is getting back,
yeah,
and then the following year.
That's what I'm saying. What are you talking about? We're saying the same thing.
So he'll get himself ramped up to win a championship next year for the following year. It's not like KD's going to hit the ground running next year.
You don't know that. He can start early.
KD will average 27 next season. First year back.
He will do the
I'm just telling you, the same numbers. He ain't going slide off a
Y'all forget,
bit
man.
Because this brother is, he's a marksman. I ain't worried about that at all. But I do say this, again, you gonna sit up there and come back and put yourself in this position. Listen, I have respect for USA basketball.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Excuse me. With all due respect, my record speaks for itself in terms of how many years I've been on the air talking about USA basketball with Coach K, with Jerry Colangelo. Oh, by the way, I was in opposition for Coach K coaching three times. I feel like with the greatest players in the world, one college coach shouldn't have a dominant presence on that. I thought that was unfair to the rest of the coaches in college basketball. Your former coach at Duke. Yes, I said it. And I love Coach K. But in the end, USA basketball, we've reestablished our dominance. There are enough great
players. We lost last summer.
This past summer.
Yes. Listen, that don't mean nothing. Let me tell you something right now. When it's time, if you pick some of the best players in the NBA and they participate in 2020,
you only get one life.
Take it back to the root. Once upon a time, we started losing at basketball because we sent our amateurs over. So we said, hell with it. And we sent the dream team, right? Then we established when we send our best players, we win. Then little by little, there's attrition. We prove that point. And when we don't send our best players, we don't win. Do we really need KD off injury?
You guys are so dramatic.
So you don't think KD is going to play 5-on-5, pick up basketball in Brooklyn when he's here working out this summer?
How is that different?
You can get hurt doing anything.
You can still get hurt. Your risk at getting hurt is exactly the same, Max.
No, it's not exactly the
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
do you play a lot of summertime, pick up basketball, Max? Okay, so if you're playing over in Brooklyn, you're not playing against other top tier players. You're playing against assistant coaches. You're playing against guys that have at you. You're actually more prone to probably get injured than playing against guys who know how to play.
I mean, it should be noted, one guy at that table played in the NBA. So, you know, Jay Williams coming in hot. Joseph on Twitter says, if Kevin Durant ends up leading Brooklyn to a championship, he's now in the conversation with Michael, Magic, Kobe, LeBron. Shouldn't even think about stepping on court for Team USA. So you guys are fired up about it all. I think you're wrong. We're going to keep taking your thoughts. Don't forget, tune in tonight. Speaking of all this basketball action, college basketball, Baylor battles Texas Tech. God, this college basketball season has been incredible. Coverage begins at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We want you guys to keep weighing in. Where does LeBron James stand in the MVP race right now, and why? I want your thoughts on 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take. Plus, what's going on now with Tom Brady? You'll hear about it next from the panel. But first, every night, local police departments across America get hundreds of calls from burglar alarms. The crazy part is most of the time, they have no idea if the alarm is real or if there's even a crime going on or not. All the alarm company can tell them is the motion sensor went off. SimpliSafe Home Security is different. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence, gives the police an eyewitness account of the crime. That means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. That's important. Plus, you get comprehensive protection for your entire house. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching the home. Entry motion and glass break sensors guard the inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. The best part is 24/7 monitoring by live security professionals, and you can set your system up yourself with no tools needed. So if you're like me, you're not handy, it's okay. Or SimpliSafe can do it for you. And because you know I love a bargain, it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. All you got to do, visit SimpliSafe, that's simply with an I, simplisafe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. You have nothing to lose. Go now. Be sure you go to simplisafe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. That way they know we sent you. That's simplisafe.com/fits. More of your take, plus more First Take on what's going on with Brady. All coming up next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.
As we inch closer to championship weekend, the big dance.
Yes! Yes!
The journey to the tourney continues every morning on Golic and Wingo on ESPN Radio.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the show. Penzo at Performance Time. What we're asking, where does LeBron James stand in the MVP race? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We just had a caller tell us third behind Harden and Giannis. So surprising takes out there at Jason Fitz too. Remember, if you're going to tell us, also tell us why. That's all I ask from you. Tell us why also. Let's get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless though. And you know, it wouldn't be a day if we didn't have some sort of an update on the Tom Brady situation. This weekend, it was fueled by modern technology. As Brady and Edelman hanging out at a Syracuse basketball game, all eyes were suddenly on what looks like a FaceTime from Coach Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans. Edelman also saying the sentiment, hey, he'll be back, he'll be back. Now we're all lip-reading Tom Brady, and how did he respond? So as we take a look at everything we're looking at here, ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky joined Max and Stephen A. to talk about what's going on and what the latest is with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady being beloved is nothing new to Tom Brady. Matter of fact, I think if anything, you can make an argument this is definitely his agent, because he looked very, very uncomfortable there, to be quite honest with you. This is somebody on the outside, PR, agent, whomever, really compelling him to do what he's doing. But what it really, really comes down to in terms of New England, the New England Patriots, who do they have? Stidham, whatever, out of Auburn, a fourth round pick. Not to say anything, that mean anything, because Brady was a sixth rounder. But the point is, you have your relationship with Kraft. You don't have a Garoppolo waiting in the wings, per se. I think Brady knows that if he wants to stay, he can stay. It's just that, again, you don't mind being out there front and center and feeling the love and entertaining the possibility of moving beyond New England because of your personal relationship with Bill Belichick. I don't think he's trying to convince anybody of anything. He knows he's beloved. Mr. Kraft definitely loves him and wants him to stay.
Dan.
The issue is him and Bill Belichick, and we all know that the crowd ain't going to affect Bill Belichick. Not one bit. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick don't give a damn what anybody on the outside
is feeling. Who's the pressure being brought on?
Dan, okay. Where are you
There's
on
no
this?
No pressure being brought
you
on
think
the
he's, You think he's out?
Oh, yeah. I think don't fear change. Fear being in the exact same spot next year that you are right now.
Right.
And I think that's Tom Brady's mindset. And that's why he's looking at the Patriots. Like, we can be honest when we look at New England right now. New England's starting skill players today are Julian Edelman, who was beat up last year and is aged. It is N'Keal Harry, Mohamed Sanu is getting surgery, Matt LaCoste, and James White. Mm-hmm. That's what Tom Brady right today has to go back to skill player-wise in New England. A.J. Green has been tagged in Cincinnati. He ain't going to New England. Amari Cooper is not getting out of Dallas. So Tom Brady has to look at the Patriots, and it's not whether he trusts Robert Kraft or he trusts Bill Belichick. It's really, do I trust Emmanuel Sanders? Because that's the next best option at wide receiver. I don't think they can afford Emmanuel Sanders and Tom Brady. The second thing is this. This is the first time since Tom Brady in the last 25 years has been courted. This is being recruited all over again. He was recruited by all the big schools, ends up going to Michigan. He has not been recruited as an athlete since that moment. He's always actually been asked to take less than he's been deserved. Now he's the first time in 25 years, he's getting the opportunity to be recruited. This is exactly what Tom Brady envisioned. This is why he set his contract up to be this way. I mentioned the skill people back in New England. Then the next step is this. They don't have that much money to spend. They have like the 12th most money in free agency. That's not a lot. So you're looking at it going, wait, if we pay Tom Brady what he wants, there's not a lot of people to go and pay him. Hang on. There's not a lot of money to go pay people. Second of all, they have one pick in the top 80 of the NFL draft. Again, how are you going to make Tom Brady feel like he won't experience last year again? And they play the hardest schedule in football next year. So I think Tom Brady and Patriot fans need to get to this point of realizing, wait, Tom Brady's embracing change. And we better get comfortable with the idea, because the interaction with him and Julian Edelman, you know, like when your children decide at some point to make you food and you're watching them make it and you go, that's going to be disgusting. And then your kid asks you to eat it and you have to say it's good. I'm like, hey, mom or dad, how does it taste? And you're like, oh, it tastes great, even though it tastes terrible. That's what it looked like right there. It looked like Edelman's like, you're coming back. And Brady's like, yeah, whatever.
This is where you and I differ. Number one, when Tom Brady was at his height, he was able to take mediocre receivers and make them look really good. That's gone.
Right.
He just had the problem with the Patriots last year. Going into the season, we felt about them the way we normally felt about them the last 5 or 10 years, right? Maybe they don't have the talent this year. But then cooler heads would say every year we say that.
Sure.
And then there they are in the AFC Championship game. So last year was really, but what did they do? They rode an elite defense. And
those five, that elite defense that you mentioned, five of those, the guys are free agents.
Okay, but that happens all the time with the Patriots too, and Belichick figures it out. Suddenly we don't have faith in Belichick? No, no. In fact, that narrative has been turned around, and that's Brady putting public pressure on Belichick and changing the focus to Belichick and thereby pressuring Kraft.
You think Brady wants to go back to New England?
I think his preference would probably be that the Patriots made a real big commitment to him.
I don't think
they're going to, but I think that would be his preference.
Here's where your argument makes no sense. First of all, you've repeatedly acknowledged Bill Belichick doesn't give a damn about what the public thinks. You talk about the pressure that Kraft would impose upon Belichick. It's already there. It's always been there. Mm. It's been there from the time that he was willing to get rid of Garoppolo. It's repeatedly been there. Now, Kraft may not get involved in the money, per se, meaning that if Bill Belichick says, excuse me, we don't need to compromise our cap because of such and such a reason, he might not come to Brady's defense in that regard. But in terms of wanting Brady, not wanting to move Brady, making clear to Brady, you are who we want. We want you to retire a Patriot. We don't ever want you in another uniform. There is nothing more that Kraft can do to Belichick than has not already been done.
Brady might feel, I went to the well once when Belichick was grooming Garoppolo. I can't necessarily do that again and get the kind of commitment that I want. When you say what Brady fears is this being in the same situation. Brady didn't play like an elite quarterback last year. The defense played elite. The defense played, like, let's just be honest. He was, there were worse quarterbacks,
but he was not an elite quarterback last year. He's going to make
really
a good football decision and be on another football team next year.
He was not an elite quarterback last year. He was missing guys every way you could miss a guy. Come on.
I was playing receiver.
I think he's just living his best life and he's enjoying this process of free agency as it gets underway.
Oh, let's give you the Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. I'm going to keep saying every day Brady's going back to the Patriots. Sorry to disappoint everybody. We're burying the real lead there. Dan Orlovsky looking sharp in the white. I mean, that is an aggressive choice. When you drink coffee, especially aggressive to go all white with the sweater. Whew, Orlovsky rocking it. We're going to keep taking your thoughts. Where does LeBron James stand in the MVP race? Don't forget, First Take Your Take, brought to you by Shell, V-Power Nitro Plus, premium gasoline. We're going to keep taking your take, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But on top of all of that, we're going to get back to the NBA because the Rockets are on a run, and it leads to a question of who's more important to this Rockets team in small ball. Is it Russell or is it Harden? Hear the surprising answer from one of the people on the panel. You'll hear that next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour of the show, it is not too late to check the whole thing out in demand. The First Take Your Take podcast brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average? With Capital One, you can open a savings account with rates 5 times the national average. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We're asking you, where's LeBron stand in the MVP race, especially after last night, yet again, doing what he's doing? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Again, I'll say ChevyRider91 tweeted, it's the Belichick or Saban effect. He's consistently great, so it's nothing special what he does. Not throwing shade, it's just the way we see it. I don't know why we see it that way. We can't seem to figure out where he is. We'll take some of your take in just a second. You guys have stacked the lines. In the meantime, there was another First Take on the NBA. The Rockets continue to impress. The question is, right now, who's more important to the Rockets, Russ or Harden? ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins joined Max and Stephen A. to debate it.
First of all, I'm not happy at all by what I'm seeing from the Houston Rockets. And let me tell you why. They're getting in my way. Okay. I want the Lakers and the Clippers and all LA conference finals.
Yes, sir.
Guess what is threatening to mess this up?
You ain't lying.
The Houston Rockets are a game and a half out of the number 3 seed.
Yeah.
Which means the Clippers, if they don't hold on, will fall to 4. And if they fall to 4, they would meet the Lakers in the second round. Not the conference finals.
So the Lakers don't get to the Western Conference Finals.
Whatever. The point that I'm trying to make is that there wouldn't be an all LA conference finals. Mm-hmm. Now I love H-Town, so I would recover. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is that we got to be careful about that. Let me tell you, answer the question why Russell Westbrook's so important. James Harden, and I'll leave that to Max because he's got to make shots. Blah. Fine. Russell Westbrook is only shooting 25% from 3-point range. I think that's something that we got to be mindful of because I'm wondering whether or not anybody's going to be able to force him when playoffs arrive, defenses get back, the pace slows down a little bit, et cetera, et cetera. If the Houston Rockets are able to continue this pace, forcing people to go small in an attempt to try to guard them, okay? And they're able to keep up this play. They can go to the finals. The Houston Rockets could go to the finals, okay? Russell Westbrook is going to be the one to determine that, because even if James Harden is dropping 50, if he's dribbling and dancing and holding onto the ball and doing what he does, that's something that we've seen before and we could predict. The Russell Westbrook element, the way he forces you to open up your defense, because he forces you, because again, you reeling, you on your heels going up against this brother. And just the heart, this dude. Russell Westbrook is the most evil basketball player in the game.
He's a killer.
He is a killer.
Yes.
He don't care about anything that ain't wearing that uniform. He don't care about anything. I don't give a damn as a mascot. I don't think if a little kid is courtside wearing up on his uniform, Russell Westbrook don't like him. You understand what I'm saying? He don't like anybody that ain't on his team until the game is over. He means it. He is the most evil, volatile competitor in the game today. And I'm saying that as a compliment. Ain't an insult, it's a compliment. This brother is special. And they're going to have to figure out a way. And oh, by the way, I'm off the D'Antoni band, you know, wagon about the future.
Time.
About the future. This man deserves a contract extension, Tillman Fertitta. Give Mike D'Antoni a contract. I don't give a damn what happens. Give the man a contract.
It's about time they got to a game seven against a way better Golden State team at home, and they should have won that game if Harden and company didn't go cold.
Yeah.
Because D'Antoni's system works.
First Take, Your Take, brought to you by Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. All right, let's get back to your take. Where does LeBron stand in the MVP race? You guys have stacked the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Dave in Indiana, what's your take and why?
Jason, I think you'd have to call LeBron a distant second at this point to Giannis.
Why distant?
I mean, what? Well, for what Giannis has done, the record that Milwaukee has without having a 1A, you know, LeBron's got a 1A in AD, and not that Giannis has some pieces around him. Now, I will say with what LeBron did last night without having AD in the lineup, probably pulled him closer into that conversation. But, you know.
Well, I think it's a great point. AD definitely affects it and affects where we view him on that. And we got a tweet about that, too. I'll read in a second. Nevin, in Texas, you got the opposite take. Where's LeBron on your MVP race and why?
I have LeBron James ahead of Giannis. And my only reason why I have him ahead of Giannis is because of that Giannis is in the East. Giannis is in a non-competitive East. With LeBron being in the West, LeBron has to deal with Denver. He has to deal with Houston. He has to deal with the Clippers. He has to deal with Utah. He has so many other teams he has to deal with night in, night out. That's why the Lakers' record against a winning team is on the back end, because he has to deal with some other teams.
Well, no. And I get that argument, but I'm going to say this. I think we're really downplaying the East as a whole. The Raptors are better than we thought they were going to be. The Celtics, and we keep talking about Jason Tatum right now and how spectacular they are. The 76ers have the talent. They just haven't played up to that level. The Heat are supposed to be the contender. You can go up and down the list. I mean, there is talent in the East. I agree, though. Edward on Twitter says Giannis is first, LeBron a distant second. This is a great point. The previous 3 years, the NBA media has told us if two top five players are on the same team, like KD and Steph, we have to hold it against them. LeBron is on a team with another top five player in AD. Giannis isn't playing with another top five player. That's the big argument to me. You take Giannis off the Bucks, man, they are barely a playoff team, right? Like, you take Giannis off the Bucks, even in the East, they are not the Bucks that we see today. So I think that's the under-respected part of this. I want your take. Where does LeBron stand in the MVP race? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. That's how you can get in the conversation. I want to know where. I want to know why. You can tell us. We'll hear some of what the panel had to think. They don't think the MVP race is over yet. You'll hear why next. First Take, Your Take.